Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen. That's Bruce and Salen, SALLAN.com. That's S like in Sam's. Pastor Drew Sams, who is our next guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, for the last 5 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and they are booked every evening I invite them over for dinner, but someday they'll make it. Welcome to the show, Pastor Drew.
I know. It keeps lining up like that. Hopefully we will get together soon. I appreciate the invite, so.
Well, you know how much I am fond of you, and I know it's legitimate conflicts of scheduling. But I am making a public plea to, I don't care what happens next time, just say yes.
I love it. Yeah, I can't come back on the air again after this and have another time.
Exactly.
I could make.
That's why I decided to embarrass you publicly.
That's great. I see what you're doing.
Okay, one-on-one time is the topic. And as we were talking in the break, you are one of my rare actual readers. Not only do you read my columns, you often digest them and you know, flow back with some great stuff. So I'd love your reaction to this and what it brought up for you.
Yeah, it was great. You know, as I was reading, you know, the title, one-on-one time, I was thinking, okay, it's one thing to get one-on-one time with your kids, your spouse, you know, anybody you care about, but then it's a whole other thing to actually make that one-on-one time productive. And there was something that you did in your column that you said in a walk with your son that I think is one of the hardest things for us to do as people, but I think it's one of the most powerful things in making one-on-one time a success. And it was just to listen. You said that you started walking. It's to listen.
What? Huh?
Yeah, there you go. So you said, you know, you began walking in silence. And I think in those moments, that we always want to fill the silence with what we want to talk about, with our agendas, with frustrations that we have or things that we want to get out of the other person. But you waited and you listened. And
you have no idea, by the way, how hard that is for me, and I'm not trying to be funny. It is not easy.
Especially when you're just listening to silence in the beginning.
Or especially when you know you have something you have to cover with your child who may be a teenager and may have done something wrong or may be in trouble, and you're just dying to lecture them. They're not going to hear you in those moments.
No, they're not. But I think what you did, and I think is something for us all to learn is, you know, and like you said at the break, it's not just with your kids but even your spouses, being able to listen and allow them to start the conversation. And maybe you even ask them a question that really prompts them to go a direction that they want to go. In the column you said your son started talking about music, but then it started getting deeper. I think he felt like he had a voice and he felt like he had an ear to listen. And that's a hard thing to do, but I think if we're able to do it, it goes so much farther than if we just start out the gates with our own agenda, our own topics.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Another tool, by the way, that this probably is – I don't know if this would work in parenting. I do know that it's a tool often recommended for couples is to repeat back to your partner how you heard what they said or to say, well, let me get this straight. Is what you're saying such and such? And if you've understood them correctly, they'll say, yeah. And if for some reason you haven't, they'll say, no, that's not what I meant. And that's a really not only a great listening tool, but a way of just communicating better to clarify and be sure that you not only are hearing them, but you're understanding them.
Exactly. I was a psychology major in college, and they called that active listening. And I love the active part of it because you're not just sitting there, you know,
preparing your response.
Exactly. That's what we do.
Right.
You know, quote-unquote listening is really just us waiting until they stop talking so we can put it on our 2 cents.
Or as I do, interrupting the person so I can put in my 2 cents.
Yeah, so true. And so I love that. Being able to repeat back what you heard really closes that communication loop. You know, I can say something to you. You can hear it. You can repeat it back to me. And if it's not what I said, then the communication loop hasn't been completed, and I have an opportunity to tweak it. And say, no, that's really not what I was saying. I was saying this, and boy, somebody who is actively listened to, they really felt heard. They really feel heard. They'll feel like they have an environment in which they can open up more.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great skill to learn.
I might add that even though the column was more about parent and child, this idea of active listening has greater, I think, import in many ways between man and woman, between partners, married or otherwise, because of the gender differences. God, I hate when I say that. Because of the sex differences. I hate the word gender. It's so PC. But men hear and think of things in different terms than women. And while that may not be politically correct, it's a fact of life. And often my wife will say something and I'll just interpret it a different way. And certainly the same goes in reverse. So I imagine the same thing also applies with opposite sex parent and child. So the need to make sure you're understanding what they're saying is important.
Yeah, it's so true. I think, and this is a very broad generalization, but it's often said, and I can say just from my own experience, guys usually want to solve problems. And so I know when my spouse comes to me and says, you know, gosh, you know, such and such happened, I launch into how to solve the problem.
So, and sometimes, by the way, and more often than not, the woman actually doesn't want a solution. She just wants to be heard and sympathized.
Exactly.
But I do the same thing. I am Mr. Fix-It. I go there immediately. And it's before it's even the first sentence is out of her mouth, I'm, okay, how do we fix this? What do we do? And therefore, that means I'm not even listening.
Yeah, I think they need somebody to resonate with the emotions that they're feeling with whatever problem. And that's hard for us sometimes. And I think that as parents, too, sometimes we come into the situation wanting to solve, and maybe our child just wants to open up and feel like they've been heard.
Well, I agree with that completely. And if you've done that, when they actually do have a problem, if you haven't immediately, every time they spend one-on-one time with you, if you haven't lectured them or told them what you think they should do and you just heard them, then maybe they will come to you.
Yeah, instead of saying, well, I told you that. I told you not to hang out with that person. I told you not to do that. You should have listened to me before. You know?
Boy, does that never work.
It doesn't.
It is so funny how we repeat so many of these patterns that we knew, we swore we wouldn't do when we became parents, and then, of course, when we become our parents. It is an ongoing challenge.
It really is. Well, great column this week.
Well, thank you. As usual, I adore having you on my show. Excuse me. Why don't you tell us a little more about your new website and what you're doing and anything that you'd care to share? We only have a couple minutes left, but I'd like to turn it over to you.
Yeah. You know, I'm doing doctoral work. I know you mentioned that in my introduction, but there's a place that I've been blogging at, wewillsinganewsong.com, and I really resonate with the idea that we learn so much through visual images, and I love even the idea of visual metaphors. It's interesting, the Greek word today that describes public transportation, metaphori, really kind of sounds like that word metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that metaphors kind of take us on a trip. They take us from where we are to maybe understanding more about a concept. And so it's just a place that I've been able to make observations about life through some very common visual images. And it's been really neat interacting with some of the readers as they've commented on various things.
What is the site name again?
Yeah, it's long. It's wewillsinganewsong.com.
Wewillsinganewsong.com. You might be interested, actually. My son, Arnie, who you know, of course, is being featured on a site called onestoppoetry.com as the artist of the week. And he is performing in a bunch of videos that he's made for them and written some replies to questions. It might be something worth sharing on your site. If I remember, I'll send you the link. But for listeners, I just want to remind them this is a wonderful site about all forms of art called onestoppoetry.com, onestoppoetry.com. Anyway, Pastor Drew, love having you on the show, as always. I miss it terribly when you're unable to join us.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Thanks again.
I appreciate it. We'll talk next week. It is time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen or email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We'll be right back after these breaks.
While by the dawn's early light, my love, going back to time.